When the Stanley Cup playoffs come around, it's time to go big or go home.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
We're going big with CPJ and 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Get game previews, player and coach reactions. Plus, you can join the conversation by sending in your questions and comments at Bobby Mac Sports on Twitter.
Because right now, we're in the playoffs.
Now, to tell you like it is, as he always does, here's Bob McGilligan.
Today, I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to lay in my bed. Don't feel like picking up my phone. So leave a message at the tone. Because today, I swear I'm not doing anything. Nothing at all.
You know, it's weird not having to do anything. It's really, really weird. But it's a good weird, and I will tell you why. I'm Bob McElligott. This is CBJ and 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Coming up on today's show, we're going to be hearing from a couple of guests. Joe McDonald, he covers the Boston Bruins for the Athletic Boston. We're going to hear from him. The Bruins able to even their series last night with the Toronto Maple Leafs, so we'll talk about that. And then I'm going to talk with Mark Madden from 105.9 The X, there we go, in Pittsburgh, and he's going to talk about the demise of the Pittsburgh Penguins, which I thought you might enjoy, as a matter of fact. So that's all coming up on today's show. Okay, here's what I mean when I say it's weird not to do anything. Because when you get to the end of the hockey season, okay, if you're a person like me, where you're doing this for a living and you're going all the time. You're basically from the time training camp starts in September and then the preseason games start and then the regular season games, you're going all the time. If you have a day here or there, that's great, but you know, it's almost every other day there's a game and whatever. When the season ends, and it's like quitting smoking cold turkey. Not that I've ever smoked, because I haven't, but I would imagine it's the same thing, where you're going, all of a sudden everything stops and there is nothing to do. Absolutely nothing to do. And it takes you, or I don't know how it is for everybody, I shouldn't speak for everybody, but for me, it takes probably a week, 2 weeks, to figure out how to do nothing again. Not nothing, but not to have work as part of my everyday life until the fall comes. So that's what it kind of feels like right now, but the best thing is that you know that it's going to start up again tomorrow when the players return to practice. So everything's going to come back. So it's a weird thing to have 2 days with absolutely nothing going on, but it's a good thing because those are just 2 days of rest before the Blue Jackets start to prepare for their next opponent, whoever that opponent may be. And these days that John Tortorella has given to his team, they're going to be very good days. There's no way that there's a single person in that dressing room that doesn't need the 48 hours of doing nothing so that they can be ready for the next round. There's nobody in there like that because they all need it. They all played extremely hard during the first round of the playoffs against the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, when you get to this time of the year, there are guys that are banged up anyway. Even if they're playing, they're still banged up. They still have minor injuries and things that a couple of days of rest can do them quite good. So these 2 days are good. But again, they're just weird. They're weird, you know. And I do have a concern that the Blue Jackets maybe won too early. Can you believe that? What a stupid statement that sounds like, right? But now you're talking about maybe a week without any games, not knowing when the next series is going to start. And you have that all that momentum and all that. You know, one of the things that we've talked about with this team is maybe part of the reason they were successful in the first round is because they've been playing playoff games for quite some time. You know, the Tampa Bay Lightning had an easy regular season. They didn't really get challenged. They had clinched the playoffs in early March. They had clinched the President's Trophy by mid or the third week in March. So they weren't really challenged, whereas the Blue Jackets were challenged every day the last 2 weeks of the season. Every time they played, it was a must-win game, and they did their jobs. now all of a sudden you're going to have a long span of time where there's nothing, where there's just a couple of days off and then there's practice. And you're going to be trying to get ready by playing against yourselves, which is not easy to do. I mean, you cannot recreate what goes on in the game in practice. So, again, it sounds stupid. You're like, wow, you won too quickly. Man, maybe you should have played another game. And no, you shouldn't have done that. But there is a little bit of concern to lose the edge. But then again, when you look at what this team did and how they went about doing it and how they just continue to fight shift after shift, game after game, they're pretty locked in and focused. So I probably shouldn't even have that concern. It's probably a dumb concern. So there you go. But, again, the Blue Jackets will return to practice tomorrow and start to get ready for that second-round opponent, be it the Boston Bruins or the Toronto Maple Leafs, and who knows? Who knows what that's going to be? That, and when it comes to that series, by the way, you know, there are two schools of thought on that. I'm sure that there is a team that the Blue Jackets match up better against than the other, at least in our minds and on paper, right? And I know what team I think that is. I don't know if you have that team made up in your mind. I think it's a team that wears blue and white personally. But then again, who knows? I didn't necessarily think that the Blue Jackets would match up that well against Tampa, and they matched up great against Tampa. So who knows? But anyway, the Boston Bruins, I think the Bruins are so much like the Blue Jackets, where they're big and they're fast, and they can be physical if they want to. And their top line just really scares me more than what the Toronto Maple Leafs bring. I mean, that Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand, and then last night they didn't even have Pasternak on that line for the most part. He had two goals, but he was getting those goals in a power play situation playing with those two. They had Danton Heinen playing with Marchand and Patrice Bergeron in that game more so than they had David Pasternak. So it took a main piece off the top line, and it was still a very formidable top line. So I just don't think that's the better matchup for the Blue Jackets. And I watched the game last night, and I was hoping that Toronto could find a way to get another home win and they could take a 3-1 lead in that series, but it just didn't happen. And now the Bruins are going back home. They have a chance to take the series lead. But here are the schools of thought. You want that thing to go long, maybe 6-7 games. You want those two teams to beat up on each other. My concern with that is I don't know if you can beat up really on the Boston Bruins. I don't know, because they are so physical and they're big and they're tough if they want to be. I think you can beat up on the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think they're, you know, more of a skill team, and if you pound them a little bit, I think you can find some guys banged up more on that team, more so than the Boston Bruins. So, you know, what do you want with that series? It's now going to game 5. Do you want to see it go 7 games? And then it goes back to what I was just talking about a moment ago. Let's say it goes 7 games, and then 2 days later, they have to start, whoever wins it has to start the next series against the Blue Jackets. Well, they just had to grind it out and find a way to win, and you've been sitting around for a week waiting for an opponent. Who gets the advantage there? Who knows? You never know until the games are played anyway. So I guess I'm just speculating about a bunch of nothing. See, and that all goes back to what? That all goes back to not knowing what to do with yourself. Because you're not doing anything. You're just waiting. You're just sitting around and waiting to see what's going to happen. And, you know, that's the toughest thing. You have no idea what's going to happen, who you're going to play, this, that, the other thing. But I will tell you this, a couple of things I do want to say. Number one, I want to say thank you, because thanks to you, our CBJ Radio SoundCloud page, where the show gets posted after we do it live in the morning, that page yesterday hit an all-time high for listens. It was right around 10,000, and that includes everything that we post on the page, which, by the way, basically anything audio-wise that comes out of the Blue Jackets you're going to find on that page, player interviews, game highlights, CBJ and 30 Live, also the Inside Edge, which Jody Shelley and I did last night. All of it is on that page in one place. It is CBJ Radio on SoundCloud. And it was just a terrific record-setting day for us yesterday. And not only a record-setting day in the most listens we've ever had in one day, but I want to put this into perspective. A couple of days ago, and I forget, maybe it was after game one in Tampa was last Wednesday. So it might have been last Thursday. It might have been after the game one win. We had our best day ever, and that was only about half of what yesterday was. Okay? So I just want to put that into perspective for you. So thank you. I really do appreciate it. It's amazing and mind-boggling to me what those numbers are reading right now. But I have always said, and I have been consistent in saying this, and I'll say it to you again, this market, this Columbus market, I think has just been begging and pleading for this Blue Jackets team to be what it looks like it is right now. Because I think you have just been waiting for an excuse to just go all out. I've said before that I think if this team can get consistently into the playoffs, consistently have a shot at winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, everybody in the league talks about the Pittsburgh market. You know how, you know, they sell out all these games and they've got all this, they've got all these viewers and these listeners and this and that. This is a better market. This is a better market. This is more people. I really mean that. There are more people here. This has the potential to be just fantastic. And the team hasn't always lived up to its part of the market. And now that the team is living up to it, you're responding. And I think it's great. I think it's absolutely great. I was also out yesterday, just like going to the store, and I have noticed, and I don't know if this is a coincidence, I don't think so, I have noticed a lot more people wearing Blue Jacket stuff. You know, jackets, sweatshirts, T-shirts, hats. And believe me, I look. All throughout the year, I look. Because I'm always interested to see how much of it I see. And it has gone up exponentially here in the last couple of days. So either people have had it and have not worn it, or they're going out and buying it. I don't know which, nor do I care. But the profile of the team is way up, and not just in Columbus, and not just in Ohio, but across the hockey spectrum. The profile of this team is way up. And it is you that is carrying that profile. So thanks for a job well done. I wanted to make sure I got that in early here today because it's so fun and so exciting to watch this thing unfolding over the course of the last 24, 36 hours, the way that everything has gone down. So let's take this extra day off and let's just enjoy it, right? Revel in it. Enjoy it for one more day, because as of tomorrow, when the Blue Jackets hit the ice again to start practicing for round two, then it's back to business. But yesterday and today is about soaking it all in, about just having fun, about appreciating your team, and getting ready for that second round. So tomorrow it's back to business, okay? But for today, let's just take one more breather before the work begins once again. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Joe McDonald. He covers the Bruins for The Athletic Boston. He can tell us all about the Bruins, who are now tied two games apiece in their series with the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll see if he thinks they're going to be able to take the series lead when the next game goes to TD Garden tomorrow night. We'll hear from Joe as we continue with CBJ and 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Single-game playoff tickets for the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs are going to go on sale tomorrow, Friday, April 19th, 10 o'clock. So get your tickets for round number two. The Blue Jackets will take on either the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Boston Bruins. Their series is tied at two games apiece. And here to talk with us about that series, senior writer for The Athletic Boston, Joe McDonald. Joe, thank you so much for getting up this early to talk to me. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime to talk hockey or even baseball with you, Bobby. I'll do that, absolutely.
That's right. We met back in the AAA ranks of AAA baseball in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And it's funny how life works, isn't it, that we get to see each other still at TD Garden in Boston. And if the Bruins come, would you be traveling to Columbus?
I think so. I believe that's the plan at this point. I hope so anyway. Fluto Schinzauer, my coworker here in Boston, is in Toronto, or should be traveling home from Toronto today. But if this goes six, which obviously it will by now, I may be back in Toronto, but for the second round, I should be in Columbus, and I'm hoping to catch up with you again.
Oh, that would be great. All right, now let's talk about this series that's going on with the Maple Leafs. I think going into it, I'll tell you how I felt. I thought the Bruins wouldn't have much problem with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and all of a sudden the Maple Leafs come out, they win game number one in Boston, the Bruins tie the series, they go to Toronto, Maple Leafs win that one. And then last night, what a crazy game that was last night, where it's a 2-0 lead for the Bruins, and all of a sudden the Maple Leafs come back and they tie the game, then the Bruins get three unanswered, and then the Maple Leafs score two, and they get it back to a one-goal game late in the third period before the empty netter sealed the deal. What do you think about these first four games as you've watched them?
Yeah, I'm with you, Bob. What happened was, you know, we have to do our picks before each series, and given the way that the Bruins finished the regular season and given the way that Toronto struggled down the stretch, I picked Bruins in five. I really thought that the Bruins were going to come in here and steamroll a struggling Maple Leafs team. But, you know, the Maple Leafs found a way to beat the Bruins in game one at their own game, you know, by being physical. You know, the Bruins thought that Maple Leafs were going to come with their speed, but it was actually the physicality that kind of surprised the Bruins a little bit. And then the Bruins in game two had probably played one of their better games the entire season, from start to finish, from throughout the lineup. I mean, to a man, they were good. They were really good. And then you're right, it's flip-flop throughout this series. And even last night's game, game four, it was almost like the Bruins, all right, we got that quick 2-0 lead, and that was a start that they needed, especially on the road, especially in that environment. And they just kind of let their foot off the gas just a little bit. And against the Toronto Maple Leafs, you can't do that. I mean, they are a good team. And, you know, you got Austin Matthews finally finding his game, which is key for the Maple Leafs. Tuukka Rask played well for the Bruins in net. He let the second goal, the tying goal, which is one that he absolutely should have stopped. But he made the timely saves when he needed to. So it's been an interesting series, and even though I thought it was going to be Bruins in five, now, you know, it's going to go seven, and I still think the Bruins win the series, though.
Talking with Joe McDonald, he covers the Boston Bruins for the Athletic Boston. And, you know, I lost my train of thought there, of course, which is that par for the course for me. Anyway, but it's you talked about how the Maple Leafs actually got physical in the first game, which is, yeah, that would take you a little bit off guard, I'm sure, if you're the Boston Bruins. But because the Maple Leafs are a team that is primarily they run on speed and transition, you know, the Blue Jackets just saw that with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They were able to stifle all of that. Are the Bruins trying to do those same types of things against Toronto, you know, take away the middle of the ice, make the neutral zone tough for them to get through?
That's exactly what they've been doing. And the one thing that is huge for the Bruins in this series is the play of Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo. The Bruins, in the previous two postseasons, the Bruins were without Carlo due to injury. So this is his first shot at postseason hockey. And in game one, you could tell he was nervous. He had the butterflies, and he wasn't on top of his game, and he struggled a little bit. But he settled in game two. He settled down in game two, I should say. In game three, he really turned the corner, and last night he was good, and he's a big guy, and he's got that reach, and he's able to slow down those speedy wingers coming through the neutral zone and angling them off and keeping them wide a little bit. But Charlie McAvoy last night was probably the best game he's ever played as a Boston Bruin. He was a monster out there at both ends of the ice. He scores a goal, gets an assist, and he was just shutting down those speedy forwards for Toronto, and he was being physical and using his reach. So when they're getting contributions from young guys like that, Charlie's 21, just turned 21, and Carlo's 22. So when they're getting those types of contributions from the back end, that's huge for the Bruins in this series, and they're going to need more of that. But you're right. You know, they know that Toronto likes to stretch the ice, get that stretch pass going, and it was successful for Toronto earlier in this series, but the Bruins have done a good job of kind of stifling that type of attack, and that's why Mike Babcock has had to make a few adjustments, as Bruce Cassidy has as well. Bruce Cassidy, who basically stayed with his same lineup for the first couple of games, last night decided to switch it up a little bit, put David Pastrnak on that second line with David Krejci, and it worked. Actually, at one point of the game, David Pastrnak was double shifting with both the Bergeron line and the Krejci line, and it worked out well. So a little adjustments here and there, and you know the Boston Bruins are kind of finding their game, but without a doubt, this is going to be a three-game series now, and Bruins have home ice advantage, but it's going to be dynamite, no doubt.
You know, thank you for helping me get back on track because I wanted to ask you about Pastrnak and what was going on last night. He does have two goals in the game. He got out there on the power play with Bergeron and Marchand, as he usually is. But to put him on a different line, was that just to give Toronto more things to have to deal with there?
I think so. I think a little bit of it is Pastrnak has played with Krejci in the past, and they have some really good chemistry. And in fact, Krejci has been, you know, campaigning Butch Cassidy to have him on his right wing the entire time. But, you know, that top line of Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak is probably one of the best lines in the NHL. So that's why Cassidy kept them together for the majority of the season. But because Pastrnak does have that chemistry with Krejci, there are times in game where Cassidy will reunite those two. And last night, I think it was a little bit of gamesmanship on Cassidy's part because, you know, after game three and on the off day, he kept saying, nope, I'm going to keep Pastrnak on that top line, going to keep him right there, let him fight his way through it. And then the starting lineup comes out last night, and he has Danton Heinen on that right side, who also played a very excellent game for the Boston Bruins playing on that top line. So that allowed Pastrnak to back down on the second line and maybe a little more balanced lineup offensively for the Bruins. And that, to your point, Bobby, he got out there on the power play and scored a really nice goal with Marchand making an unbelievable pass to him from the corner. But he was double shifting last night just to try to get him going, and it got him going. So it's going to be interesting to see how he responds in Game 5.
How many people in New England were surprised that if the Bruins are able to continue on to Round 2, that they will not be going to sunny Florida? Instead, they will have to come to Columbus.
All I know is that all the sports writers were bummed because they all had to cancel their reservations to the Waterside Marriott, which is right across from you. I know you know that hotel. It's right across from Amalie Arena. So
it's perfect. I mean, you don't have to do anything. You can just walk everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great spot. But I'm excited for if it is the Bruins and the Blue Jackets, it's going to be the physicality of that type of series will be off the charts. I mean, that's John Tortorella's type of team, right? And now you bring the Bruins in, and that's definitely their identity. So if that series comes to fruition, it's going to be so entertaining. It's going to be so much fun to watch as a fan. It's going to be fun to cover, you know, as a sports writer. It's just going to be unbelievable. And I think Bruins fans, I mean, they're knowledgeable hockey fans around here in New England, and they know that, you know, John Tortorella being a local guy and they know that it's going to be a physical series. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, just from a career standpoint, I hope I'm still covering hockey in a week, and I hope it's going to be in Columbus.
Well, Joe, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. And I don't know. I want to say hopefully I'll see you soon, but I just everything you just talked about is what concerns me. I don't know if the Leafs would be better or not, but it's a nice position to sit in here because I'm here and think about that stuff, and you're just hoping, as you said, to be working in a week. So thank you very much. I really do appreciate it.
Catch up with you, my friend.
All right, buddy. Thanks. That is Joe McDonald. He's the senior writer for The Athletic Boston. You can find him on Twitter at Joey Mac Hockey. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the demise of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Mark Madden will join me as CBJ in 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union, continues. Blue Jackets waiting for a second-round opponent in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It will either be the Boston Bruins or the Toronto Maple Leafs. Their series is tied at 2 games apiece and resumes tomorrow in Boston. I'm Bob McElligott. This is CBJ and 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. One team the Blue Jackets are not going to have to deal with no matter what happens in the Stanley Cup playoffs is their nemesis, the Pittsburgh Penguins. They were eliminated in 4 games by the New York Islanders, and here to talk with me about that is Mark Madden from 105.9 The X in Pittsburgh. Good morning, sir.
What's up, Bob? You guys finally got lucky, huh?
Yeah, finally. you know what? I ran a clip on yesterday's show from an interview that you and I did back on March the 6th where we both predicted the Tampa Bay Lightning would not win the Stanley Cup, and how about that? We were both right.
Yeah, I knew whatever it was the Lightning never had, they still haven't got. That said, I think they're kind of in a Washington Capitals position where I don't think they should blow it up. The Capitals waited it out, and I still think it might come good for Tampa Bay. But clearly they approached the series with Columbus with too much arrogance and too much taking for granted. I don't know if you read this, but Vasilevskiy, their goalie, broke in a new pair of pads in game one against Columbus.
Yeah, he was, to be honest with you, Mark, the first day that we were in Florida, we were at the practice rink. This is the day before the series started. And he came out with those brand new pads on, and I noticed that. Jody Shelley and I talked about that, and he was having the goalie coach taking shot after shot after shot on him. Even when he wasn't in the net, he was in the middle of the ice, and they were just taking all these shots. And I found that to be like, look, I know goaltenders, some of them will grab a new pair and put them on right away, and it's not a big deal. Other guys want to break them in for weeks. But I thought that that was unusual, and he went away from those pads during that series.
Yeah, well, again, that level of arrogance combined with subsequent indecisiveness kind of sums up the Tampa Bay Lightning. That said, I was too busy watching the Penguins collapse to watch much of that series. And the little bit I did see, Columbus just played with an intensity that once they got slapped in the face in game one, being down 3-0, they just decided they had enough, and they never really slowed down after that. I find myself wondering, by the way, if the break between series, you know, because the Blue Jackets swept while they wait for Toronto and Boston, if that's good or bad, because certainly the rest helps. And to go far in the playoffs, you need to have one relatively short series. But I hope it doesn't break their momentum.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'm concerned about that as well. But when you talk about the rest, you know, I looked at the minutes that Seth Jones and Zach Werenski and David Savard played on defense because, you know, the other three defensemen that were playing, there have been injuries. And the other three guys that were playing were getting the limited minutes, and those guys were really pulling the bulk of the heavy work. So the rest will probably be good for them. But I agree with you because I think another big difference is, and you know how this works from all your years of watching the game, the Blue Jackets have been playing playoff hockey for 3 weeks, and the Tampa Bay Lightning hasn't played playoff hockey since the opening of the regular season, right?
Since last playoffs, really.
Yeah.
I mean, they knew where they were going. They knew what they were expected to do. It was just the perfect storm. With the New York Islanders, put it this way, Bob, if Tampa played Columbus again, I can't guarantee Columbus would win. If the Islanders played Pittsburgh again, I could pretty much guarantee the Islanders would win because that is an awful matchup for Pittsburgh, as it turns out, and the Islanders were absolutely at the top of their game. The Penguins, a couple of years removed from winning their last cup, are trying to still play a really fast game, but they have inevitably slowed down a little bit due to age, due to some roster machinations, and they just can't play that type of hockey anymore.
How far do you see the New York Islanders going with that style of play? And look, they were surprised this year. On that same interview that you and I did that I mentioned yesterday, we were talking about locks for the playoffs, and you had said that the Islanders are not a lock, and I totally agreed with you at the time. They were playing really well. But, man, Barry Trotz has them in a pretty special place, doesn't he?
Well, I didn't take him seriously when they had Pittsburgh down 2-0. But, yeah, he really does. They are just so proficient at the quick counterattack. When they get a turnover in the neutral zone, they just come right back at you with speed and precision. There was a line of thinking that Barry Trotz has the Penguins' number because he's beaten in the last 2 years. He lost them the 2 years before that. I think Barry just finally got Washington over the hump back in 18, and this year the Islanders just had a perfect game plan for Pittsburgh. I'm still not sure what to think about Robin Lehner. He's playing very good. He's a big guy, 6'4". They had that two-goalie system all year. It wouldn't shock me if at some point they yet had to turn to Thomas Greiss. It wouldn't surprise me if their goaltending didn't hold up a lot longer either. I have faith in their skating. I have faith in their very underrated defense corps. I have faith in their forwards. Although, again, the Lightning in a beer bottle notion. Jordan Eberle had 19 goals all year. He had 4 goals against Pittsburgh. But right now, yeah, they're playing terrific hockey. And I expect to come into the next series with momentum because, again, like the Blue Jackets, they're going to be well-rested when they face the winner of Washington and Carolina, at least well-rested by comparison.
Let me ask you about the Penguins. You mentioned that they're still trying to play the fast game and they're not as fast. Their stars are aging. I don't mean that they're by any means near retirement or anything like that, but what kind of personnel changes do you think that team might have to make over the summer so that they can compete again the way that they have been?
I think they have to make a big decision, Bob. They have to decide if they want to play fast or if they want to adjust their style to the roster they have. Like, if they played a more defensive-oriented game and did like the Islanders and attacked on the counter, they could be a very good team. Then again, they might decide they want to take a couple steps backwards, you know, not tank 2 years, but like kind of rebuild for 2 years like Chicago is doing, and very successfully, might I add, because I think they're a team to be reckoned with next year after a couple non-playoff seasons. But I don't know what they're going to do. I think they'll find it very hard to part with anybody who helped them win Stanley Cups, and that might ultimately get them into trouble. Plus, which some of the guys they have no movement clauses. Like, I'm not saying you'd want to trade a Malkin or a Letang. I might with the former. I wouldn't with the latter. But they have no movement. I think they might trade Phil Kessel, but who wants him? What would you get for him? They're just in kind of a don't-know-what-to-do situation.
The Blue Jackets getting the second wild card spot puts them over in the Atlantic Division, and I've been thinking that maybe this has been a better place for them all along. And I wanted to get your opinion because you see the Metropolitan Division all year long. You know, I just think with the Blue Jackets, if they wind up in the – this is easy to say after you beat Tampa, by the way. But if you wind up in the first wild card spot and you play Washington again, now it's all last year's storylines and it all goes back to that. It's been kind of fresh and new for them to go to Tampa and play, and now they're going to get either Boston or Toronto. You think there's any advantage of getting out of the Metropolitan Division until maybe the Eastern Conference Final?
I can put it into one phrase. They didn't see the Blue Jackets coming. They weren't used to dealing with them, didn't play them as much, underestimated them because of their regular season record, the fact they had to squeak into the playoffs. Yeah, I think there's probably something to be said for that, although don't you think that'll be worn out by the time they play Boston, Toronto? I mean, after you sweep the President's Trophy winner, you're no longer going to sneak up on anybody.
No, not at all. And if it happens to be Boston, I think you're going to have two teams that play the exact same style.
Yeah, good point. But I don't know who I like in that series. If Toronto had won last night, obviously it would have been head 3-1. I don't know, though. Boston going home with two of the three games at home, I kind of like them at this point.
Were you surprised that, well, first of all, you know, the Blue Jackets go all in at the trade deadline. It doesn't work for weeks, and all of a sudden starts to come together at the end of the regular season. And were you surprised that John Tortorella, who I know is not a favorite in the city of Pittsburgh, that he was able to get this team willed to the point where they swept Tampa Bay?
I don't know why they didn't come together as you'd think after they made those trades. I don't. It took longer than you'd expect because usually it either works right away or it doesn't. You might not have the cohesiveness when new guys come in, but you have the adrenaline rush. Maybe it took longer because so many new guys came in. But no, I'm not really surprised. The one thing, I still, and Matt Duchene, forgive me, I still don't see him as a first-line center.
Well, he's not. He's really a second-line center now because Dubois went back into that top-line spot.
I don't see him as a first-line center either. I still think that's not the strongest spot for the Jackets, but as long as those guys are performing, why ask why?
Yeah, absolutely. And as long as you're getting the contributions from Panarin and Bobrovsky on what looks to be the last go-around, you take it, right?
No question. And I give Bob a lot of credit, too, because when it was 3-0 Tampa in that first game, it looked like same old Bob in the playoffs. It would have been very easy for him to kind of, I don't want to say go in a tank, but, you know, he's a one-foot-out-the-door guy, as is Panarin, and I think those guys are playing just fine.
Well, Mark, thank you so much. I do appreciate it. Always great to talk hockey with you, buddy.
Bob, if you guys keep winning, keep calling. I'm free for the next 2 months. I thought I'd be busier.
All right. Well, I'll take you up on that. I appreciate it. That is Mark Madden.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Mark Madden, he hosts a show on 105.9 The X in Pittsburgh. You can find him on Twitter at Mark Madden X. Coming up, put the wraps on today's CBJ and 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Blue Jackets with another day of rest as they await an opponent for round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Round two tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, and Michael has sent me a message via Twitter at Bobby Mac Sports. Says, best guess on what day the home games are going to be on, trying to buy tickets for one of those games. Michael, I don't have I have a guess, but I don't know if it's right. I heard yesterday the 25th is when the series would start, which is a week from today, but I'm sure the television is going to determine what the actual start day is going to be. But let's just say it's the 25th. That would make the first home game the 29th, more than likely, which would be a Monday. But I don't know. I don't know. That's a terrible answer for you, but I don't know. And that's – we've never been in this situation, right? Never made it through the playoffs, never made it through a round, never had to sit and wait for an opponent, never had to wonder when the next game is going to be. So, Michael, I wish I had more help for you, but I don't. I don't. But and I understand how that is. It's crazy, right? You want to know because you want to make plans. See, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me because a long time ago, my grandmother told me, don't make plans, they just get ruined. So I just fly by the seat of my pants or whatever I do anyway. So my plan, and I'm not saying that's the right way to go. I'm saying that's how I go. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Most times it works, sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, I understand why you want to know, and I wish I had more help for you. I'll tell you who has help for you, though, the people over at Ohio Credit Union. They have help for you if you are in need of, maybe it's a personal loan, maybe you have a business, you need a business loan, maybe you just need a checking account, maybe you need to invest in a CD, you want to get a quick return on a CD. They can help you with all of that stuff. They can help you with that. They can help you with much, much more. They can help you by telling you why you should become a member of a credit union. It's all right there on their website, tellhio.org. Just go on there. Every question that you could think of, you could find the answer for. But maybe you don't have time to find the answer. Maybe you're like, listen, I could click through all this stuff and I could research it, but I'm really in the middle of something right now. I want the information, but I don't have time. That's fine. Click on the live chat option, and it'll pop right up on the screen for you. Somebody will help you through whatever question you may have. If you have more time on your hands and you happen to be driving around town and you want to stop by a local Ohio Credit Union office, you can do that too and talk to a person about the way that they can help you to benefit with your finances. They've been doing it since 1934, putting people above profits. They're all about you, believe me. Ohio Credit Union is available to everyone in central and southwestern Ohio. They are federally insured by NCUA. Well, the other games last night, I told you about the Bruins and the Leafs. 6-4, the Bruins win that game in Toronto, and that series is now even at two games apiece. It resumes tomorrow night in Boston. The Nashville Predators just got blown out last night. They gave up four goals in the first period. Pekka Rinne was pulled from that game by Nashville. That was in Dallas. The Stars win that one. 5-1 was the final. That series is now also tied at two games apiece and returns to Nashville for Game 5. And here is a surprise. It's a big surprise, quite frankly. Much like happened in the East with the Blue Jackets upsetting the number one seed in the Tampa Bay Lightning, the number one seed in the West is on the ropes right now, and that's the Calgary Flames. The Flames had themselves a 2-0 lead in the third period. All of a sudden, the Colorado Avalanche came back. JT Compher got a goal. Then Mikko Rantanen got a goal. It was tied at 2 at the end of regulation. Into overtime, Rantanen scores his second of the game. It's the overtime winner. And Colorado now has a 3-1 lead in that best-of-7 series. So the Flames won their first game at home. They dropped the second game and now have dropped 3 in a row as Colorado got both home wins. And I would love to be surprised by that. I really would. But I'm not. Because I was just never sold on the Calgary Flames anyway. I know they had the best record. I know they had the most points in the West and all of that stuff. But, again, I always thought that the goaltending there, Mike Smith and David Rittich, they're okay, but not exceptional and phenomenal. And, you know, Philip Grubauer's 10 goal for the Colorado Avalanche. You know, good on him. Remember, they made the trade to get him last summer and thought that he was a guy that could become their starter, but yet they were still going kind of back and forth with Semyon Varlamov and Grubauer throughout the year. Grubauer never really grabbed the reins and took it until late in the season, and now he's got it. But, you know, Calgary, they're very talented up front. They've got good defense, but I just have always thought that their goaltending is the one area where they could get stronger at. So anyway, they had a great regular season, but they're on the ropes right now. They've got to go back home, and they've got to win in order to keep that series alive. And it's going to be interesting to see if they are going to be able to stay alive in that series. The games that are going to be played tonight, there will be three of them. The Capitals are in Carolina to take on the Hurricanes. Remember, the Hurricanes won the last game of that series 5-0. They still trail 2-1. It'll be really interesting to see if the Hurricanes are perhaps for real or if that was kind of their one fluke win in the series. Winnipeg is at home against the St. Louis Blues. That series is tied at 2 games apiece. The road team has won every game in the series to this point. So the advantage on paper goes to St. Louis. But come on, let's be honest. A home team has to win one eventually, right? I would think. And the Vegas Golden Knights have a chance to eliminate the San Jose Sharks tonight in San Jose. That game, or that series, sorry, is 3-1 in favor of Vegas. And the San Jose Sharks, I mean, is this not just what goes on almost every year? Like, they get into the playoffs, they have a great regular season, they get into the playoffs, and then with the exception of a couple of years ago when they went to the Stanley Cup Final against Pittsburgh, they fizzle in the playoffs, and they're on the verge of fizzling again. And, oh, by the way, the Golden Knights look really good. You know, I mentioned Calgary, and, you know, they had a great regular season and all that jazz, but the Vegas Golden Knights are starting to look like the team that last year went to the Stanley Cup Final once again. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. I'd like to thank Joe McDonald from The Athletic Boston and Mark Madden from 105.9 The X in Pittsburgh for being my guest today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to look at the Toronto Maple Leafs aspect of that series with Boston. Paul Hendrick will join me tomorrow for that. And also, we're going to hear from my old broadcast partner, George Matthews, on tomorrow's show. In the meantime, that's going to wrap up today's edition of CBJ in 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. And tomorrow is Friday. That means one more time for the week. We'll do it. Until then, I'm Bob McElligan saying so long.